Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
This is True Crime Cast. Jamie and John here for the final show of 2022.
Boy, I've been looking for this year to be over for a while, and it is going out with a bang, isn't it, man?
Yeah, it's been quite the year, I know, for you and your family, but all of us have persevered, and we're here, and this is the last primary episode for True Crime Cast for the year, and we're going to go out with a bang here, too.
Yeah, this is a crazy case, and I'm so glad you brought it to my attention, Jamie. We are nice and cozy in our studio, but man, it is -6 degrees outside today.
We're in Kentucky, and I read that it is colder here than it is in Alaska right now.
Yeah, and let me just tell you that people in Kentucky are not prepared for the weather that we're going through right now.
I came over to your house, again, which is next door. My toes are frozen, and I drove 20 feet.
I say that. I'm sitting here in a cutoff t-shirt with shorts on, so obviously my house is okay.
Yeah, it's not bad, but outside is not okay.
Man, guys, we have a few things we want to do housekeeping-wise before we get into this case, but man, let me tell you, this case is good. We want to thank Aaron, who over on Patreon came in at the $3 a month level, and that is going to get Aaron and everybody who's joined Patreon a bonus episode each and every month. We use that money to put back into the show, to pay researchers, to pay an agent, to really keep the lights on. So Aaron and everybody who's joined Patreon, thank you, thank you, thank you.
And if you haven't, great episode coming out on the first. We put a bonus episode out there the first of every month. This one's fantastic. And you get early ad-free access to all episodes.
Yeah. Some people have said, oh, there's too many commercials. Well, Patreon will let you listen. No ads.
No ads.
Just your boys.
Got several reviews that have come in, and I want to get to all those before we shut down recording for the year. So I'm going to read half of them today and half of them that will come out on next week's 2023 kickoff show. This one comes from Eric29. Says, fantastic show. I found my way here like others from Chris Jericho's podcast and have not regretted a second. The stories are given their due respect without bias or outlandish behavior in an attempt to gain listeners. John and Jamie don't sensationalize the story, which is refreshing and makes the show very easy to listen to in both the long form and to go. Keep up the amazing work. Again, that's Eric29 from Australia. This next review comes from The NASCAR fan. There we go. The NASCAR fan.
I love it.
New favorite. I first heard John and Jamie on the Chris Jericho podcast and thought they were so well spoken. I now go to their page first whenever I'm in the mood to listen to podcasts. I've yet to find an episode I don't really enjoy. Great job, guys. Looking forward to listening more. Thanks so much, NASCAR fan. This is from Ollie, 12234567890.
Love it.
Says, brilliant podcast. Ollie is also from Australia. Says, I generally don't listen to podcasts. I heard the first podcast from a work colleague and then began listening and have listened to all 5 seasons. Love how John and Jamie care of the victims and do great research. Well, thanks to you, Ollie, and your coworker for sharing that with you. That's awesome. Yeah, so
appreciate that.
All kinds of new 5-star reviews. All these were over on Apple Podcasts. Again, a couple from Australia, so you have to be in the country to see those. But we get access to all of them, and we'll read a few more next week to wrap up the year.
All right. That is going to take care of our housekeeping. Jamie, I have been so excited to talk about this case with you. So with that being said, why don't you get the ball rolling?
Yeah, I can't wait. This is a fascinating story, and it captivated me, so hopefully it does that to our listeners as well. We're going to start out talking about Victoria Silliers, who is a physiotherapist in England. She started parachuting at the age of 16 years old, and at the time of our incident we're going to get to in a bit, she had over 2,600 jumps without any issues.
That's a lot. You know, I know people who have went once and that's probably all they'll go. I mean, this is like a professional parachuter.
It is. And if you do something that many times, it becomes routine and it becomes comfortable to you. So this is certainly a habit that she's established, that she's very good at this. When she was 22 years old, Victoria joined the Royal Army and worked in the medical department as a physiotherapist. She eventually rose to the rank of captain and spent time serving in Kosovo. She had a marriage early in life that didn't work out. She had married Captain Liam Fitzgerald Finch, and they had to spend a lot of time apart due to their positions. And she also feared that Liam was unfaithful, so she got out of that marriage pretty quickly. And her next major relationship would start in March of 2010. That's when she started dating a patient named Emil Sillyers. And again, Sillyers is her married name, but she got it from Emil eventually. Tell us more about Emil, John.
Yeah, Emil was born in South Africa in 1980. We know more about his upbringing than Victoria's, and hopefully diving into it will help us get to the bottom of what happened here. Emil was raised in a loving home. His parents were a preschool teacher and an engineer. He was charming, athletic, and well-liked by everybody. He started his first real romance when he was 16 years old. He started dating 13-year-old Nicolene Shepherd. Now, when you're adults, a three-year age gap is not a big deal, but as teenagers, it creates this weird power dynamic. Like, my son is 16. If he dated a 16-year-old, that would be weird.
He's 13, yeah.
Sorry, did I say that backwards?
Yeah.
Yeah, so backwards, it would be weird to me. But yeah, like as an adult, not a big deal at all. At 16, Nicolene became pregnant and gave birth to their first child, Celine. The couple did get engaged, but the marriage was put on hold when she found out that Emil was cheating on her.
Toward the end of the year 2000, Emil went on a quote-unquote working holiday to the UK. Emil and Nicolene had often talked about settling in the UK, and this was a good opportunity potentially for him to go and scout out where they may live and what they may do when they get there. However, Emil was gone on this vacation for 2 years. He roamed the country, working in bars and having a great time. He would come back to South Africa in 2002, and they resumed their relationship, and Nicolene got pregnant once again. Emil soon went back to the UK, and this was allegedly to establish himself and then bring Nicolene and the kids up with him. But within a year, Nicolene received some horrible news. She was sat down by Emil's mother and told that Emil not only wasn't coming home, but that he had gotten married to another woman named Carly Taylor. So we see time and again that Emil is not always on the up and up. He's lying to Nicolene. He's cheating on her. He's disappearing for years at a time. And he marries somebody while he's allegedly establishing a life for Nicolene up in the UK.
Nicolene did not give up on him, though, and in 2006, she moved to the UK herself and reconnected with Emil. Now, he had a story. He said that his marriage to Carly was only to get a visa, and they were no longer together. However, he totally got busted this time. Carly and Nicolene found out that he was lying to both of them. This is threat level midnight for this guy, right?
Yeah, this is a lot of his lies. That you, if you lie that much, you have to try to keep them in order, and it all came back to bite him.
Well, they both confronted him, and it got messy, but Carly stayed with him for 3 more years. So, I mean, this guy is just irresistible, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. He keeps getting away with infidelity and lying, and it's very unfortunate for everyone involved, except him, I guess, up to this point.
So they would ultimately divorce in late 2009, and early the next year, he was injured while skiing as he was working for the Royal Army as a sergeant in charge of training, and his therapist during rehab was none other than Victoria.
Victoria and Emil started dating pretty soon after they started their professional relationship, and they dated for a year or so before they got engaged. Within a few months of that, they were married with a child on the way. Now, they ended up having 2 children together, but within a couple of years, the marriage started to unravel like many of Emil's previous relationships. He accused Victoria of cheating on him and said he wanted a divorce. Although there seems to be no evidence of that, he was caught cheating multiple times by Victoria. He also went into a great deal of debt to some really shady people, to some loan sharks. As it turns out, there was a life insurance policy on Victoria for around 120,000 pounds, which is around 145,000 American dollars. Many believe that Emil saw this as an opportunity to get out of debt and to get out of his marriage. And as you suspect, this story is going in a direction that will not be great for Victoria, which we'll get to after the break.
Yeah, this guy sees this as a two birds, one stone kind of thing, huh, Jamie?
It seems like it. He obviously is not on the up and up, but up to this point, we've not seen him do anything violent. Now, that could have been the case in some of these relationships, but that's not public information. We know he was unfaithful. We know he lied a lot, and he was unreliable. But would he really go so far as to be violent to get out of this situation that he doesn't love?
Well, let's get into that. So in March of 2015, there was an incident in their home. On a Sunday night, Emil had told Victoria that he desperately wanted to avoid Monday traffic going to work, so he planned to just leave early and spend the night at an army base. The next morning, Victoria felt like she smelled gas and called a maintenance person to come and check it out. It turns out there was a loose nut on a gas isolation valve next to the stove. There was dried blood near the nut and a pair of pliers in the house that would later be shown to match the markings made on the nut. So, I mean, just putting two and two together here, it looks like somebody intentionally loosened this up and actually hurt themselves in the process.
Yeah, and this is obviously a dangerous situation, whether the gas itself can poison people, right? Like a lot of times the gas can be odorless, depending on what type of gas you have in your home, and can kill you without ever knowing. Also, it's flammable. So yeah. Being next to the stove, this is scary to say the least.
Emil would claim that he had used the pliers to try to tighten the nut days earlier, but a forensic scientist would later testify that the pliers were obviously used to loosen the bolt. You know, you and I and your father-in-law do stuff all the time as far as like fixing things, and you don't tighten a nut and it just miraculously loosen itself up.
Right.
Especially when it's behind the stove, sitting there stationary, just not going to happen. So the idea was obviously that Emil potentially attempted to kill his wife by creating a gas explosion in the home. However, both of their children were also in the home. We have seen him cheat before, but do we really believe that he's the kind of person that would try to kill not only his wife, but his entire family?
Yeah, I think it's a jump, first of all, for me to go from cheater to murderer, but to kill your kids is a whole other type of evil that I don't think I would have seen coming in this scenario, in this family story. Thankfully, this was not successful. Everybody was perfectly fine. And there really wasn't a major investigation at the time that this happened. There was no initial reason to believe that Emil had done this on purpose. This was seemingly just an accident avoided, and everybody was thankful that they were okay. Fast forward just over a week later to Easter Sunday of 2010, Victoria was excited to get out of the house and go parachuting. It was one of her favorite things to do. This was her happy place. As we mentioned, she had done this over 2,600
times.
Yeah, almost 3,000 times. This was her. Some people go fishing. Some people go hunting. Some play golf. For Victoria, parachuting was her happy place.
It's not my happy place. In fact, it would be the most stress-inducing place of my life. But, you know, everybody has their own idea of relaxing, and this was definitely hers. She made a passion out of it.
Emil and Victoria had planned to go together. They went to get their rigs, which was their parachutes on their backpacks and that kind of thing, ready, and they were set to go. But the weather was too bad, and this was on the Saturday before Easter Sunday. So for the next morning, Victoria had planned to go back and complete the jump that she had planned that day, but Emil was unable to go. So Victoria had given Emil her rig to go and put it in her locker so that the next morning she should just come in, grab it, and get ready to jump and wouldn't have to deal with getting everything together.
So the next morning, Victoria got up. She went back to do something, like you said, she had done literally thousands of times. She suited up in her rig. She boarded the plane and took off into the sky. Once they reach a height of 4,000 feet, Victoria took a dive out of the plane. I will point out this is a low altitude jump. Normally they would be much higher. So this was a lower altitude than usual, right?
Yeah, which means less time free falling, more time just chilling on the parachute.
So she free falled for just a minute and then was, you know, enjoying the thrill of the fall. And then it came time to open her chute. But when she tried, the chute came out and it got all tangled up and did not open. So not good at all. But, you know, she has done this so many times. She knew, don't panic. You have a backup chute as well. So she cut away the main chute and then pulled the ripcord on the backup chute. But no matter how hard she pulled, nothing happened. And I'm sure that's when panic sets in.
John, I'm very afraid of heights. I don't think I would ever be able to skydive or go parachuting because of that instant. The pulling of the ripcord and nothing happening, I think would be my worst nightmare. To be falling from thousands of feet in the air and know that there is nothing that could be done to stop you from hitting the ground.
There was somebody else jumping with her at this time. And because of the low altitude, they didn't have time to like try to hook up and save each other. So this guy literally watched his friend crash. And he said that he just cried the whole way down as he was, you know, on his parachute because he knew she wasn't going to survive this situation.
She landed in an empty field full of recently plowed dirt. Without a parachute, she crashed right into the ground. But miraculously, John, she survived the fall.
Dude, I'm pretty sure I could fall out of my bed right now, and I would be hurt worse than Victoria.
When we put Christmas lights up on the top of my house, I'm pretty sure that if I fell off a certain part of my house,
I'm raising your kids.
I'm dead.
Day. Yeah.
So how could I imagine falling from 4,000 feet and not dying? This really feels miraculous to me. And I mean, again, she landed in recently plowed dirt. So what?
I feel like the dirt's that's soft. Still concrete when you fall from 4,000
feet. Yeah.
Like there can't be that much of a difference.
She had broken ribs, a broken collarbone, a broken leg, and severe spinal injuries, but she lived through jumping out of a plane and falling to the ground. We've covered a lot of absurd things, but always true, of course. And this may be the most shocking thing we've ever covered, that somebody survived a 4,000-foot fall. Like, I feel silly. I feel like I'm lying, but I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, we've covered, like, people who have survived attacks by serial killers and stuff like that, but anytime you fall from a plane from 4,000 feet, I don't care if you land in a swimming pool or a foam pit. Like, I suspect you're going to die.
Yeah. Victoria did not.
So in looking back at the incident, Victoria said that as the ground loomed ever closer, I forced myself to push fear from my mind. I just have to fix this, I told myself, as I fought for my life. My children need me. So, you know, this is a quick fall, but it's not so quick that you don't have time to think. And I think that would be the worst part of this. So as she's, you know, bracing herself for impact, she's not thinking of herself. She's thinking of her children and how much they need her. Man, that's a good woman.
Yeah, absolutely. Kudos to her for being so brave in this fall and willing herself to survival.
You know, you and I know a man at church who fell off of an oil rig. And I mean, he broke a lot of bones in his body and he still has lingering effects from that. So it would take her months to get back on her feet. And I'm sure that she, just like our buddy, has many ongoing complications that she has to deal with every day. I don't imagine that you can make 100% recovery from something like this.
And never like just forget, like, oh yeah, I fell out of a plane once. No, it's with you every day for sure.
Yeah, her survival is truly a miracle, but I'm sure she has to live in constant pain and just the traumatic, you know, mental health aspect of this. There was a pretty immediate investigation into what caused the failure because places that offer this type of experience pride themselves on safety. So an initial look at the parachute, it revealed really nothing. And then a friend of Victoria's told police about her marital issues, and they started paying close attention to his behavior. And we often talk about how it's impossible to predict how a person would react to a tragedy, especially losing someone. But with your injured spouse clinging to wife and having multiple operations, I believe there is a little more clear protocol for that. This includes showing up and showing that you care, just being there with her.
Yeah, I think if I find out my wife died, then there's a wide range of emotions that I could experience and that I could show. And whoever told me that could obviously observe those and through their own paradigm or their own lens. But somebody being in the hospital fighting for their life, be there and care for them. It seems pretty straightforward. And Emil was around some of the time, but not as regularly as you would expect. He seemed cold in his attitude and very overtly refused to tell Victoria that he loved her. Often when she was being wheeled into an operation, she would say, "I love you, Emil," and he would just stare at her. And there were people witnessing this. They also sent the parachute rig into some experts. It was determined that there were no mechanical flaws in the design, so any malfunction had to be caused by a human. The main chute had been twisted in a very unnatural way. It is possible for chutes to get twisted naturally, but experienced skydivers like Victoria have techniques or maneuvers that they use. If the chute's untangled, then I can spin my body in this way, or I can do that and it'll open up. But she was unable to do this because it was unnaturally tangled. It was tangled on purpose. And the backup chute had some slinks missing. Now, a slink is basically an attachment that keeps the parachute attached to the rig. So had it opened properly, it would have only been attached to one side of the rig anyway and would have been completely useless because these slinks were removed and it wouldn't have been attached.
So pretty easy to see to a professional and an expert that this was tampered with.
Yeah, somebody messed with this on purpose.
So given the fact that Emil and Victoria were having marital problems, his behavior was beyond strange. And the fact that he was alone with the rig right before the jump, he was arrested for attempted murder. Further investigation into all of these situations showed that Emil likely loosened the bolt on the gas pipe in their home, and he was charged with attempted murder and tampering with the pipe for that incident. In June of 2018, he was found guilty on all charges and sentenced to life in prison. He would be eligible for parole in 2036. After the verdict, Victoria told ITV the following, quote, "I've been through every emotion under the sun. I've had plenty of time to think about things, which is probably why I'm not overly angry, partly because I'm still in shock, slightly stunned about the whole thing. Also, I've got two young children. I'm the sole caregiver for them. I can't be angry, bitter, really emotional. I need to keep an even keel for them," end quote.
Still focused on her kids, even though she has so much to process. This person that I love, I had kids with, I'm married, tried to kill me twice in just a couple of weeks and tried to kill my kids.
Yeah, I was going to say, not only her, but I mean, those children were in the home too. I mean, kudos to her. I would be angry. I would be angrier at that than the parachute, because not only were you trying to kill me, but you were trying to kill our kids.
Absolutely. And just his repeated attempt shows that he was never going to give up until he got caught or she was dead or both. So it was very dramatic. Those 2 weeks are something that nobody should ever have to go through. And as dramatic and unbelievable as their relationship has already been, even after his sentence, the drama was not over. Eventually, Victoria would file for divorce. She didn't immediately. She took time to process things and heal herself before engaging in that legal battle. But Emil, who has never apologized for any of this, continues to maintain his innocence, fought the divorce process as hard as he could. We talked about his behavior in the hospital as she was trying to recover. But even after you're caught, most people after they're caught, they may not apologize. But I've heard people say that if you arrest somebody for murder and they sleep well that night, they sleep well because they know they're caught. Somebody who's innocent is going to stay up all night. He just seems to dig his heels in continually, even though there's really no getting out of this.
It reminds me of Edgar Allan Poe, The Telltale Heart. Like, you would have to be anxious knowing that you're responsible and you could potentially get caught. Yeah, but then, like you said, after you're caught, it's relief because you don't have to worry about it anymore.
He was really trying to refuse getting this divorce. And just a couple years ago in 2020, Victoria was quoted as saying, So 18 months on, I'm no further forward. I'm still married to him. I have his name. I still feel shackled to him. I want to be able to move out of the house, to move on and restart my life completely, perhaps in another country. But I'm still here, living in the marital home, and there are memories of him at every turn. And I wonder, in reflecting on your marriage, is everything tainted? Are there still any happy memories, or is all of it just, that dude tried to kill me?
Dude, I don't know. Thank God I've never been in a situation like this, but I think if my wife tried to kill me, it'd be pretty hard to find positive times and all that.
I agree. She has started to move on. Her new love interest, she says that he's aware of everything. She didn't think she could date somebody who didn't know. He's 49 years old. He's never been married and has no kids. And he's a parachutist with a military background. She's taking it slow, but she's found somebody who has a lot in common with her, who knows her entire history, and she's trying to find some happiness in her relationship, no matter how poorly her previous one ended.
Kudos to her for jumping back into a relationship, but do you think she'll ever jump from a plane again?
Yeah, she goes parachuting with this guy. That was the shocking part to me, is after something like that, I fell 4,000 feet and landed on the ground. Let me go do that again.
You know, they say to, if you get bucked off, get back on the horse. I don't know that I'm mentally as strong as this woman is.
I could get back on a horse. I don't know if I could get back in a plane. At the same time, maybe she thought, you know what? I survived.
I mean, at my age and body type, like if I fall off a horse, I might as well fall 4,000 feet.
Yeah.
And not into a plowed field, like concrete.
Yeah, on a big rock.
So she has actually written a book about this whole situation. It's called I Survived. I Married a Charming Man, Then He Tried to Kill Me. That's a pretty direct title.
I like it. No questions to be asked there about that.
There's also a documentary movie called The Parachute Murder Plot. You can find it streaming on a variety of platforms.
The most recent update in this case came in October of 2022 of this year, when it was reported that Emil's son, Trevor Thompsett, who's now 21, wants to reconnect with his father. Now, this is his oldest child from Nicolene. This is not Victoria's child. This is his firstborn child with his first real relationship. The first time Victoria spoke publicly about her own children, she said that she was still telling them that their dad was away from work. I don't know that that's still the case. This was a few years ago. She hasn't spoken publicly about her children anymore. But I think at this point, they probably know what happened.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to find out. So, I don't know. So this woman does not need me to critique anything in her life right now.
Yeah, that's just an impossible situation is all I want to say. So, she's handling it in the way that she feels best. Now, I mentioned his son wanted to meet him. So, Trevor says this, when you find out that your biological dad has done something like that, it's a really shocking feeling. I want to reach out because I never knew him properly, and I have so many questions for him about why he left my mom. So again, this is Trevor from his relationship with Nicolene, his oldest child, who's an adult. And again, this story came out 2 months ago. So he's trying to reconnect with his dad to find out more about who he is and his relationship with Trevor's mom. And I'm sure eventually they're going to get to a conversation of, did you really do this to this woman? Because Emil continues to deny it. And if so, why would you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty natural for this kid to want to reach out to his dad and find out more. I don't think he should place any expectations on any kind of positive relationship, but that's something that he's going to need to work through in his own time. And my prayers are with this kid, because it's going to be challenging and devastating when he's probably let down.
And again, this is not one of his children with Victoria. When I first discovered the story, I thought that it was. So what's going to happen with his when his children with Victoria become of age? Are they going to want answers from their dad? Are they going to ignore him? Again, this is a situation where I don't think you can say that one way to interact or one way to react is better than another. But it'll just be interesting to see which path they decide to follow.
Yeah, I'd imagine they will want to seek the same answers that his son with Nicolene wants. But I think Victoria is going to have some pretty tough, age-appropriate discussions with them as they get older. And it's kind of up to them what they choose to do. But like I said before, I just hope they don't have very many expectations on a solid relationship with this guy, because he's not able to do so.
We've discussed this several times in many cases we've covered. In the UK, the maximum sentence you can have without the possibility of parole is 25 years. So just over 13 years from now, he is going to be eligible for parole. That does not mean that he'll get out of prison. If he's denied parole, he'll stay in for the rest of his life. But there is that possibility. Is justice served here? He didn't kill anybody. So no dead people in this story, first of all, which is one reason I love it. But he still tried. And we've talked before about how, why do you get more prison time for being good at murder?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. His intent was to kill this woman, not once, but twice. So why would he be able to be let out of prison? I personally, the more I process this attempted murder charge, you might as well just be charged with murder, because your intent was there. You just didn't succeed. So I think he does not be, I think he does not need to be paroled.
Well, again, kudos to them for giving him a life sentence for attempted murder. That's something we don't often see, but he would be in his mid 50s when he gets out. And that's still young enough to do a lot of damage to people. He's showing no remorse. He's admitting no responsibility here. I don't think he should get out, but I'm actually very happy with the sentence that it was treated as a murder sentence.
And maybe I would feel differently if he's apologized, but he refuses to even acknowledge that he did wrong.
Continued to torture her by denying divorce.
And even like, it's kind of like with your kids when they break a lamp, you know, like, are you sorry or are you sorry because you got caught? And he's not even sorry because he got caught.
He's just not sorry. He shows no remorse whatsoever.
I'd love to know, what did he owe that money to? Like, what was he using that money for? I mean, it seems like this guy's misdeeds probably go deeper than just attempted murder.
Yeah, I agree. He was in with some shady people borrowing money to, I don't want to speculate too much, but by the people he was getting the money from, it was not above board behavior. I think that's safe to say. Super happy to end the year on a case where nobody actually died, but somebody's being held accountable for being awful. So we appreciate you all hanging out with us through this case and throughout this year. Our show continues to grow. We're incredibly humbled by that, and we're just so thankful that anybody listens.
Yeah, this year, back in, November or October? I can't remember. We wrapped up 5 years.
Yeah.
So moving into year 6 strong, we appreciate you all for sticking around with us.
Over 6 million downloads. Let's try to get to 10 by the end of next year. Tell your friends. Let's share this stuff.
Let's do it. And until next crime, this has been True Crime Cast.
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.